is, and we want to give you a very special welcome to Highway Christian Fellowship. And if I haven't met you yet, make sure I greet you on the way out, and it's great to be with you this morning. Something that I want to also remind everybody, we have been in a month of missions. We've called it Givetober, and we have been emphasizing missions and missionaries and giving to missions throughout this month. And I want to thank you all for your faithfulness to this. Next week is Fifth Sunday. And Fifth Sunday, now normally we would meet downstairs, we would have breakfast with testimonies and worship and all that with all of the new things we're having to get through. We are going to meet up here for worship like we normally do. The emphasis will be on worship. We have a testimony from a couple, from a new couple from our church, as well as we have with us Gina from the Pregnancy Center in Victoria is going to be coming to share. You may have taken some of the shoe boxes home for the boxes of love. Next Sunday is when they are all due, because they are going to be shipped out on Monday or Tuesday. So just want to let you know that. Yes? And we have 10 extra boxes. If you have some that you haven't filled yet, or you would like to fill some more, we have 10 extra boxes for you that you can take and you can fill up and bring them next Sunday morning. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great day. Make sure you invite someone, and we're going to have a great time. We also want to say thank you to all those who are part of our online church community, and we want to remember them in prayer as they are gathering in their homes online, and they are hearing the word of God just like we are in just a moment. So what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to stand one more time, and we're going to pray this morning for, as we get into God's word, and we're going to pray for online church, our friends on online church, that the same Holy Spirit, how many know that the same Holy Spirit who is here is even on the airwaves, and he's with people in their homes right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, we thank you so much that as we gather as your people, your Holy Spirit is moving among us. And Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters who are at home this morning. They're gathering online. Lord, as the word of God is preached online, I thank you that Holy Spirit, in the same way you are working and speaking to people here, you are working and speaking to people as they're gathering with their families or alone at home. In Jesus' name, be with those who are hosting this morning and give them wisdom as they pray for people. And I thank you, Lord, that as we preach this morning and as the message is being preached online, Holy Spirit, we're lifting up Jesus. And the word says that when Jesus is lifted up, you will draw all men and women to yourself. And so we're looking forward to that now. As we turn to the word, Lord, anoint our ears to hear you, anoint our eyes to see your way, and anoint our feet to be quick to respond to you today in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 3. And we're carrying on in our series, Unstoppable, A Journey Through Acts. And I have to tell you, this is, for me, the most exciting book in the entire Bible. It's full of action. It's full of the Spirit moving. It's full of truth. There are some who would suggest that we can't get theology from a narrative. I humbly disagree. I believe through the book of Acts, God is teaching us so much, and I pray that we will hear him as we get through his word today. This morning, I'm preaching a message I've entitled, The Message After the Miracle. The Message After the Miracle. The man was running about screaming with joy. You couldn't help but stop and notice it. He was making such a ruckus that you would have thought he had just won the lottery. People stopped what they were doing, and you could see the smiles on their faces. They heard the man shout for joy. Then you could see the shock on their faces with the realization that this was the same man just a few hours previous had been at the gate where he had always been begging. Begging because he couldn't work. He couldn't work because he couldn't walk. For 40 years, this man sat hopelessly begging with no future in front of him. Everyone saw him, walked by him. Some may have known his name. There would have been a few who would have thrown him a few coins in compassion and mercy. But something changed. Some people are rubbing their eyes in disbelief. They're shaking their heads, wondering, could this be the same man? It's impossible. He couldn't walk. But now this man is not just walking. He's jumping. He's jumping around the temple, praising God. What happened? It all happened as Peter and John came to pray in the house of God. But even before they entered the temple, they saw this man, and the Holy Spirit put a word of faith in Peter's spirit. And Peter looked at this man, calling him, "Look at me." And as he did, expecting some silver or gold, Peter says those incredible words, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." And Peter pulls him up with his hands, and immediately his ankle bones come into place. Immediately the muscles that had been frozen and paralyzed all had life coming through them, and all of a sudden everything changed. You see, it was more than just a physical miracle. This man had more than his feet healed. This man was made whole from the inside out. And that's what God's healing does. Let's not forget that miracles are not merely restricted to the physical. We thank God and anticipate that when we pray. But as God has created us, mind, spirit, and body, God also will bring healing to minds, to bodies, and to spirits. And our soul and spirit are so most important as they speak of the eternality of us all. This man was made whole in every way possible. The Apostle Peter describes it, saying to the people that as they would turn to God, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Are you looking for a refreshing today? What do you find most refreshing? A cold drink on a hot day, an afternoon nap, listening to Pastor Ralph's great preaching on the podcast after church? No, let's not go there. But what do you find most refreshing? The word refreshing simply means a refreshing, like a coolness after heat, or recreation, or rest. The New International Version uses a word that speaks of a recovery of breath or life. And that's what happened to this man. God not just restored him physically, but God breathed new life and breath and renewal into this man. What has happened is that the Holy Spirit has come upon him and not only given him healing, but a new life. He is literally refreshed and made new. Peter then goes on to explain how all of this works. Peter explains how we also can enter into a time of refreshing and renewal. Following the miracle, Peter then takes this opportunity to preach a gospel message to the crowds that were now coming and gathering around to see for themselves. Oh, I've heard it said so many times in my life. All we need is the Holy Spirit. All we need for revival and church growth is to see miracles and people healed, and our churches will be filled. How wonderful it would be for that to happen. And I say a hearty amen. I believe, and I hope you too do as well, that the day of miracles has not ceased, but the day of miracles is still present and in the now, and we can still experience those miracles. And then there are those on the other side who would say, no, it's not the miracles. Oh, they're well and good, but it's not the miracles that's going to bring renewal. It's the solid preaching and teaching of God's word. Yes, thank God for the miracles, but we need the message. I'd like to share with you this morning that it's not an either-or situation. It's not one or the other. It's not just miracles or the word. But Peter demonstrates in his message that renewal is both the work of the Holy Spirit in providing miracles of grace and the message of God's word preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, miracles plus the message bring renewal. Miracles plus the message bring renewal. They are both part and parcel of God's purpose for his church. Think about it this way. Many of us have taken a trip on a plane. Let me see your hand. You've taken a trip on a plane at least once or twice in your life. We just did a number of weeks ago back to Ontario. Well, here's the truth that we don't often think about. But did you realize that you can't fly from here or anywhere with just one wing? The plane isn't going to go anywhere, is it? You need both wings. And in the same way, just as you have two wings on a plane, you have the message and miracles, the power of the Holy Spirit coming together to take that plane forward in the direction God would have it to go. Do you need renewal today? Are you looking for God to refresh your life? There are three things that happen when renewal takes place in the life of a believer and the church. Number one, renewal takes place when Jesus is exalted. Look at verse 11 with me. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. By this time, the cripples, now still holding the hands of Peter and John, was in Solomon's Colonnade, a ways down from the Gate Beautiful. It was a roofed portico formed by a double row of white marble Corinthian columns about 50 feet high in a place in the temple that would accommodate several thousand. In fact, we can understand that there was probably tens of thousands who were gathering into this part of the temple precincts to witness for themselves this miracle. Luke tells us later on in chapter 4 that after Peter's sermon, 4,000 men plus women and children all responded to the gospel message. There were thousands that came to see for themselves what God was doing. And that's what happens when the Spirit moves. When the Spirit moves in a place, it's going to get the attention of others. When a fire is set, people want to come to see what's burning. And folk, I want us to understand that when his church is on fire, when his people are on fire, people are going to want to see what's burning. And so what they come to see here and what they hear is that Jesus is exalted. Peter saw this crowd and he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? You see, there were people coming, and their natural impulse was, it's Peter, it's John. They are the mighty men of power for the hour. They're the ones that have the answers. And isn't that just like even in our world today? People are looking for answers. They're looking to other people. They're looking to other teachers. They're looking to other things for the answers to their life. But Peter is very quick to humbly declare that this miracle had nothing to do with him or John. It was all about Jesus. And when we talk about renewal, when we talk about healing, when we talk about restoration, when we talk about any of these things, let's understand that when miracles happen and the word is preached, that Jesus will be exalted. He is the one that we are lifting up. Peter understands his crowd, and so he addresses them by reminding them of their heritage as God's chosen people. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Peter goes way back in their history. And he reminds them when God called Abraham, God gave a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation whose number would exceed the sands of the beaches and all that he and the stars in the sky. In other words, this promise was going to extend well and above himself. And as the book of Hebrews would remind us, everything that was promised to Abraham, everything that was promised to Isaac, everything that was promised to Jacob, to Joseph, to David, to all of the men and women of faith, everything was leading to Jesus. All of the promises that were made were pointing to Jesus. And so Peter reminds the crowd that it has nothing to do with him. This miracle has nothing to do with John. This miracle has nothing to do with setting up a new religion. It has everything to do with pointing to Jesus. And he refers to Jesus in three ways. He refers to him, first of all, as the servant Jesus. And I'm wondering if he was thinking of Isaiah 53, verse 11, that says, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will hear their iniquities. Jesus came not as a conqueror, but as a servant to serve the people. He refers in the next verse to the holy and righteous one. He came not to set up his own kingdom, but he came as one set apart by God to fill God's purposes. Jeremiah 33:15 refers to this, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a colt. He lifts up Jesus, the servant. He lifts up Jesus, the holy and righteous one. And he lifts up Jesus, the author of life. The word author means beginner, starter, originator, source. John 1 verse 3 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his wonderful power. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And as Peter is lifting up and exalting Jesus, Peter then drops the A-bomb. He points to the crowd, the several thousand standing there, listening with rapt attention. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. They had it all. They had God's promise given through the patriarchs, pointing them to Jesus. And when Jesus came to give us life, he points out, look, you had it all. You were given a chance. And what did you do? You killed him. In fact, not only that, you chose Barabbas, a murderer, over Jesus. Talk about insanity. And if that wasn't all, you killed the author of life. Think about the irony of Peter's declaration. The author, the creator, the sustainer of all life and creation, they killed. They gave death to the one who gave them life. The pre-incarnate Jesus, the living word who spoke the worlds into existence, through whom God breathed life into man when he was formed from the dust of the ground. This Jesus, the source of life, the giver also of eternal life, and therefore of healing, they kill. And here's the somber point. We are all guilty. We're all guilty. The tendency is one to sit back, read this as a source of history, a story, and say, well, yeah, that was them, but it's not me. After all, I'm here in church. I've got my Sunday clothes on. I've been singing the right songs. I've been praying the prayers. But we're all guilty. All, each and every one of us. Paul tells us in Romans 3, verse 11 and 12 and 23, and chapter 6, 23, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter who you are, what your name is, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, you and I are guilty and deserving of God's justice. The Message paraphrase puts it wonderfully this way: we are all in the same boat, and that boat is sinking fast. As the crowd is as silent as this crowd is right now, Peter then looks at them. And I imagine he may have gestured them to look at him closely. And he says, there's hope. Yes, you killed him, but this same Jesus, God raised him from the dead. Peter looks at the crowd. And he says it's not the end of the story. This man was healed because Jesus, the one that was killed, the one that was put in the ground, this same Jesus is alive. Can you shout amen this morning? God raised him from the dead, and Peter and John proceed to tell them how they themselves were witnesses to this event. The good news is, because Jesus lives, you and I live also. You and I can be renewed. You and I can be saved. You and I can be healed and restored, mind, body, and soul. My friend, Jesus is alive. This man was healed not by tradition, not by religion, not by hocus pocus, not by positive words of faith. No, this man was healed because the living Christ healed. Use Peter as the source of faith to bring restoration to him. And he was changed forever. You see, that's the second point. Not only does renewal lift up Jesus, renewal brings change. How does renewal bring change in our lives? Well, Peter gives us the first clue in verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Notice the repetition of the name of Jesus in this verse. By faith in Jesus' name, Peter declares on the basis of Jesus' name, healing and wholeness to this man. And he was changed. The crowd saw this man. They knew him most of his life. They saw him lame, crippled, a beggar. Then in a moment, change. Isn't that what Jesus' name does for every person that calls on him? When we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved, the Bible says. There is change. Renewal brings change. We don't remain the same. When Jesus comes into our life, when the exalted Jesus becomes the Lord of our life, he comes in to cleanse us of our sin, and he brings about dynamic, life-changing change. That's the power of the name. Are you looking for renewal today? Are you looking for a refreshing today? Do you need Jesus to come in today? Know that when we exalt him, he comes and he brings us monumental change. But it's not just faith in his name. Peter goes on to describe a second important element. Verse 17, now fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. You know, there's much preaching today about the need for renewal. There's much preaching today about the need for inner healing. There's much preaching today about faith. But folk, there is so little preaching about repentance. What is repentance? According to the Greek English lexicon of the New Testament, the word repentance means to change one's way of life as the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. In repentance, a person is given a true sense of the heinous nature of sin, and hating it, they return to God through Christ with the desire to part ways with it. It is a gift. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:25, it is a gift that God gives to us, and true repentance leads to eternal life. Folk, I know it's not a popular topic, but we need a revival of the preaching of repentance in our churches in Canada. Yes, we need faith. Yes, we need renewal. Yes, we need this. But what we need more than anything in Canada is for God's people to rise up, to turn away from their way of doing things and turning to Christ. we need a revival of repentance. Based on scriptures in the Word of God, there's a difference in distinguishing between true repentance and false repentance. There are many people sitting in our churches in Canada who read the same Bible, who sing the same songs, who pray the same prayers, who may even be used in the same gifts of the Spirit. But folk, there is a repentance that is true and a repentance that's false. True repentance does not regret the parting ways of sin. False repentance does. True repentance hates sin. False repentance hates the consequence of sin. True repentance accepts godly counsel and accountability. False repentance avoids accountability. And here Peter calls the people to repentance, that is, to change their minds and attitudes about their sin and Jesus and turn by faith in repentance towards him. And when that happens, they will experience two things. They'll experience their sins being blotted out. How many remember being in school and having the old chalkboard? And how many remember that Matt, that English or history teacher? What is it about some teachers? They seem to love just making that chalk, make that sound that caused your spine to shiver. You know what I mean. And then the teacher realizes a mistake, and they take their eraser, and they begin rubbing it off. The thing is, you can still see the smudge. You can't see the error, but you can see the smudge. And that's what this word blot means. He's going to wipe it out. He's going to wipe out your sins. He's going to make you clean. He's going to make you new. He's going to make you a son or a daughter of God. He's going to make you a child of God. And we're going to be righteous, not because of our good works, but we're going to take on the righteousness of Christ. He's going to blot out our sins. Secondly, there's going to be seasons of refreshing. Oh, hallelujah. I love that phrase that Peter uses, seasons of refreshing. Not just once, not just something we're going to look forward to just when Jesus returns, but it's something that we are going to experience in the here and now, right now, in this present day. God wants to pour out a season of refreshing on us today. Hallelujah. Can you shout amen? Are you wanting renewal today? Are you wanting a refreshing today? Lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will be exalted. Our lives will be changed. But is that it? No. When renewal happens, the blessing is poured out to others. Heaven and earth, in verse 21, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And there Peter is referring to Jesus is going to come again. The Messiah that Israel had hoped for is going to come. He came as our suffering servant, but he's going to return as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until then, notice Peter goes back again in time. He says, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. Why does he go back in history? He spoke earlier about Abraham, Isaac, and the patriarchs. Now he's referring to Moses and the prophets. I believe he's doing this for two reasons. Number one, he's doing this, as I said earlier, to remind them that all the promises spoken through the patriarchs point to Jesus. There were many in the crowd who stood there very proud that they were children of Moses and children of Abraham. And Peter says, look, Moses and Samuel, the first, the one of the greatest prophets, he said, Moses, the answer wasn't in them. They were pointing you to Jesus. And Peter is reminding them, it's not in religion. It's not in tradition. Renewal and revival is not found in whining and being proud of the past, but it is found in Jesus. But I think there was another reason why he brought up these Old Testament saints. And it's a practical application for you and I this morning. Because it reminds us, as Peter is saying, it's reminding the people that Abraham, his children and children's children, Moses, the prophets, they were all pieces of a puzzle leading people to that very moment. Everything that was happening in their past was part of God's purpose to lead them to Jesus. Every single one of us has a past. Some of us a past that we would want to ignore. Some of us that past is painful. For some others, that past may be a source of pride. But I want us to be reminded that everything that's happened in your past and mine have been stepping stones and pieces of a puzzle to bring us to this place, to bring us to Jesus. I was born in a Christian home. My grandparents were pioneer evangelists and church planters in Sweden. My parents brought me to church each and every time the church doors were opened, so that by the time I was 10 years old, on a hot summer's night during an evangelistic campaign, the preacher preached from John 3:16. And at that moment, every Sunday school verse that I had memorized up to that point began to bear fruit, as I realized as an innocent child of 10, I needed Jesus. And I see now how everything that God had placed in my past, in my history, it was all for the purpose that I would come to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm not just proud of my history. I am thankful that God saw that he would use that history to bring me to a point where I would find Jesus. And he's done that for each and every person in this room. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But then he goes on to say, verse 25, you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant made with your fathers. And I could just imagine them sitting there, yeah, I'm an heir of Abraham and Moses. Yep, I've got it all. I don't need anything else. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all the people of the earth will be blessed. I've underlined that. I ask you to underline that. It's so easy to skip over, but let me listen to it again. Through your offspring, all peoples, say that with me, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Not just the Jewish race, not just the descendants of Abraham, not just the children of Christians, not just the church, not just us who are sitting in this beautiful building, but the reason for renewal, the purpose of renewal, is that we would take the blessing and we would let other people know that Jesus has come as the servant. Jesus is the righteous King. Jesus is the Lord of life, and he's coming again. He's died, but he's risen again. He's given us this blessing, my friends, so that we can go and bless our world. That's why we've been emphasizing missions this month. That's why we've been listening to missionaries tell their stories of what God is doing overseas. That's why we take time to pray for our missionaries. That's why we become involved in places like the food bank and the pregnancy center. That's why we have a youth outreach. That's why Chris is going to be having a youth alpha in the coming days. That's why we have opportunities to share Jesus throughout this community. And folk, let it never be said that we held the blessing to ourselves, but let this be a house where the blessing overflows to Sydney, to the peninsula, and right across Canada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The source of renewal is Jesus. The means to renewal is repentance and faith. The purpose is to bless the world. What does this say to you and me? It means we have to change our direction. We have to look up. First of all, look up and see Jesus. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord today? He's calling you to himself. Will you give your life to him afresh today? Look to Jesus. Number two, look within. Look within. See your heart, and maybe what you see there isn't something you like. And Jesus is calling you today. Look within. And know that I've come to give you life, and if you'll put your faith and trust in me, I will blot out your sin. If you turn to me, I will give you life. I will give you hope. I will give you purpose. I will renew you. And then look around. Look around. Who's in your sphere of influence today? Your kids? Your grandkids? The people at school? In your lunchroom? Look around and see the opportunities that God would give you to be Jesus to someone else. I'm going to invite the worship team to return. I'd like us all to bow our heads in just a quiet moment. And let's just ask God this morning, Lord, I'm looking up to you today. I believe you are my Savior, my God, my source of life. I give myself to you. But as I look into my heart, I see a lot of pride. I see sin. I see things there that don't glorify you. And Lord, I give that to you. I turn from my way and I turn to you in faith. Blot out my past. Blot out my sin. I desire renewal. And Lord, as I look around, Lord, help me to see the opportunities to be your mouth and your hands extended. In Jesus' name. Let's see.